Stu Does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/Stu Does America. Be sure to hit subscribe, hit the bell as well, so you'll know every time we post or go live. Karina Yapor is here to help me figure out what the heck happened in Miami yesterday. Bizarre election results. Very, very strange time. I have a crazy update in the Jasmine Crockett saga, which is appropriate since we are living in the Jasmine Crockett era, and I'm so thrilled to be here. But we start by doing the eradication of the American trillionaire. We did it! They've been eradicated. There are no American trillionaires. We did it, everybody! Yay! I guess that's a goal we all have now. In case you didn't know, a lot of people on the left apparently don't. Let me give you an AI summary of the trillionaire situation. There isn't a trillionaire in the United States or the world yet. It's almost like a serial killer. But no, there are no trillionaires. There's precisely zero. That doesn't mean that everybody on the left isn't saying that there are trillionaires. Musk wins a $1 trillion pay package, creating split screen on wealth in America. Again, no, it doesn't. But that's a whole different thing. And they never do this for us. I get it. But to be slightly fair to the left and a bunch of the politicians we're about to speak about, that headline kind of makes you seem like, hey, gosh, he's a trillionaire. Elon Musk, he's a trillionaire. I mean, it says Musk wins $1 trillion pay package. So he's a trillionaire, right? Right, everybody? At Tesla, based in Austin, Texas, shareholders have largely bought into a winner-takes-all version of capitalism. No, they didn't. Agreeing by a wide margin to give Mr. Musk shares worth almost $1 trillion if the company under his management achieves ambitious financial and operational goals over the next decade. Now, the terms I would like you to look at in that particular quote are shareholders. So the people whose money is going to be paid to Elon Musk have bought in. So why would they buy into a winner-takes-all philosophy of capitalism? Because that would bankrupt them, right? Elon wins, they get nothing, right? Let's think about it a little bit. Could it possibly be that they actually win too? Could it possibly be that they think that if Elon Musk becomes a trillionaire, they're doing pretty darn well for themselves as well? Could it possibly be that the New York freaking Times, located in the financial capital of the world, have no idea what they're talking about? And you might say, well, yeah, that is what it means to. No, it doesn't. It means they're lying. They know exactly what's going on here. They know why they're framing it this way, and they're doing it completely intentionally. Halfway across the country, in the home of Wall Street, also the home of the New York Times, Zohran Mamdani's victory served as a reminder of the frustrations many have with an economic system that has left them struggling to afford basics like food, housing, and childcare. I assure you, Elon Musk having $1 trillion, which I will note he does not have, but if he did have it, that money would not have anything to do with someone in New York feeding themselves. It's literally got nothing to do with them starving on the streets. You'd think with any other individual at all, what they would be doing is saying, wow, what an ambitious goal. There's going to be a lot of emission-free vehicles on the road because we're the New York Times and what we care about is a 0.9 degree Celsius temperature rise in a century. That's our top priority. But no, because this guy voted for Donald Trump a year ago, he's apparently Mr. Evil, and we have to now think about what he's doing to income inequality, which is, by the way, nothing but a statistic. No, it literally doesn't matter at all. Let's think of this. If we were in a situation where, let's go back 100 years, the richest people in the world had a lifestyle that the poorest person of today would be very unimpressed with. Okay? They would all be like, well, where are the flat screens? Where's my iPhone? Where is the central air conditioning that I desire so? And yes, we understand there are people that are suffering today. Of course, that's true. But comparing poor people to rich people and just saying they're unequal doesn't take advantage of understanding what poor people were compared to poor people years ago. And also doesn't make any sense because it's got nothing to do with Elon Musk. He's not doing this to people. Now, he is donating a lot of money to charity that does help people, but you're not going to really necessarily find too much about that in the Time story. Much like an earlier pay plan Tesla approved in 2018, again, shareholders of Tesla, this 12-step package asks Mr. Musk, the company's chief executive, to vastly expand Tesla's stock market valuation to $8.5 trillion from around 1.4 today, while hitting a variety of other goals. Those include selling 1 million robots with human-like qualities and 10 million paid subscriptions to the company's self-driving software. Now, there are approximately 0 million robots out there right now. What we're talking about is Elon Musk creating from scratch an entire industry. But should he be rewarded for that? I don't know. What about a person who can't afford their rent in New York City, down the street from all of us reporters? All of us can definitely afford the rent. But there's some people we're upset that they can't. Therefore, let's blame the evil rich guy. Now, what is fascinating about what Elon Musk does, and by the way he built his wealth really early, was to make completely ridiculous goals and say that he could hit them. And everyone goes, sure, if you can hit those, you can have whatever you want. And then he hits them. Let me show you some of the details of this pay package. Here we go. This is, we'll start here with the $1 trillion pay package breakdown. There are 12 market cap milestones. Right now, they're about 1.4, give or take, $1.4, $1.5 trillion. You'll have to get it up to $2 trillion for him to hit the first goal. So a 33% increase in their market cap for him to hit any of these goals. Then you're up to, let's say, by step five in this process, you're at $4 trillion. By step nine in the process, $6 trillion. You go across $8 trillion to $8.5 trillion with all 12 goals. The adjusted EBITDA milestones are pretty freaking amazing as well. Very, very high. You see the chart in the bottom right as we explain them, ramping up quickly. And then the 12 operational milestones, 20 million Teslas delivered, 10 million active full self-driving subscriptions, 1 million robots delivered, 1 million robo-taxis in commercial operation. By the way, currently there are 0 million robo-taxis in commercial operation for Tesla. Now, other companies like Waymo do have some, but this is, again, him getting into an industry that's obviously going to be very profitable and exploding over the next few years. But he's starting from a position of scratch. Now, full self-driving is another thing. I have the full self-driving thing. It's pretty damn impressive. It's not perfect yet. Not perfect yet, but pretty damn impressive to the point that you can pretty much drive, the car can just drive you wherever you're going basically all the time. You know, there's sometimes you get some weird construction, you get a weird puddle in the road sometimes. I think it's a hole and wants to slow down and be like, that looks like a hole to me. I want you to go down that hole. And then it's actually just a puddle. There are things like that that are wrong with it. But generally speaking, it's pretty damn impressive to the point of like, imagine, you know, I don't know, when we were growing up, I don't know how old you are. Maybe you're Generation X, maybe you're Generation Y, maybe you're Generation Z, maybe you're Generation Annoying, maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you're even, you're a boomer, whatever you are. Think of the promise of a car driving you around. And I will note, this car costs like $30,000. It's like half the cost. You can get a used Tesla for, again, the used electric car market, not strong. But you can get a used Tesla and stick on auto drive with that thing for like $25,000, $30,000. That's unbelievable. There are cars that, you know, $200,000 that can't do that. It's an amazing achievement. But let's get mad at them. Because income inequality, we've come up with a word to make rich people evil. It's a phrase that pays. More of this, by the way. Vesting, shares earned for milestones reached within 5 years. Vest after 7.5 years of continuous eligible service. So all these provisions are met. The value of the stock award would be roughly $1 trillion. By the way, the source on that, Tesla. They're being very clear about what they're doing. And what they're doing is telling their shareholders, hey, vote on whether he should get paid like this. You can say no. What happened? The people who are actually being affected by this decision said yes, overwhelmingly. Now, this goes back to, and I will say, my belief, I don't know, I will say, it's a pretty steep haul for Elon. If he's going to hit this, he's going to have to do a lot. You know, a million robots, a million robo-taxis. You know, market cap going up by, you know, what, 5 or 6 times. These are not the types of things that executives normally base their pay on. Why? Because normally you don't come close to hitting goals like that. And I would say he has no chance of hitting these goals because these goals are ridiculous, frankly. I mean, they are ridiculously optimistic. The problem with that take is he did it last time. Remember this? 2018, Tesla announces new long-term performance award for Elon Musk. Now, let me show you this. And here is the Tesla award, like, welcome screen. This is what you see when you're looking for this information. And I only point this out mainly to just show you, you know, they weren't hiding this. They even made fancy graphics to tell you all about it. Now, remember, at this time, Tesla was worth $59 billion. $59 billion in 2018. It's now worth $1.4 trillion. Do you think he should get a bunch of money for that? I'm kind of thinking yes. Here, by the way, is what it looked like back in the day. He had to get it over, what is it, $650 billion, I think, in market cap, which he did really easily. There's a bunch of other stuff associated to that as well. Operational milestones, you know, things increasing over and over again very, very quickly. He now has, I think, $500 billion in wealth. He's the richest man in the world. That's bounced back and forth between a couple people over the years. But when Tesla stock is doing well, that's typically where it winds up. And I will remind you one more time, just for the hell of it, that this is a company that is based on, one, electric cars, cars that are going to cure the environment. Two, solar power all over the place, solar roofs and solar power and power batteries and power management. And three, a freaking spaceship company that's main desire is to go to Mars. Why? To protect ourselves from global warming. Not a left-wing ideologue, by the way. Also AI. He's worried about AI running out of control. So those are the two motivations for SpaceX. All of those things. And I guess you'd throw AI into that because he's trying to create an AI that the left doesn't like. But the general tone here is global warming, global warming, global warming, panic, 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 panic. We got to do something about it. We got to do something about it. And for that, the left rewards him with this nonsense all the time. It is incredible. Now, he is. We already solved this problem. We've already eradicated the American trillionaire. There are now zero left. We've committed genocide on all the trillionaires. They're all gone. Now, of course, they only existed in the imagination of the left. They never existed at all. They're not real. And honestly, it's going to probably take a really freaking long time until we have one. Elon Musk, with all of his success, all the companies he's built, is only halfway there and would have to achieve an incredible amount to get to $1 trillion. He may get there sometime, but I will say it's going to be a long time. And if Elon Musk actually hits these freaking standards, he deserves every penny and more. He's going to be underpaid at $1 trillion in stock awards. And honestly, I think anyone who looks at this honestly and isn't just looking to make some point about whatever anti-capitalist point could understand that. And, you know, again, capitalism is the type of thing that, you know, it raises the water level for everybody. It has been the most successful approach humanity has ever devised. It has taken and ripped a billion people out of extreme poverty in just recent memory. We're talking about tens of thousands of children per day that used to starve to death are now not starving to death because of this invention that everyone hates. Maybe they just don't like kids. Maybe they want them, I mean, they certainly want them aborted all the time. Maybe they want them, the ones that do unfortunately get born, to starve. I don't know what the approach is. I don't understand it. There really is nothing like capitalism. It's been incredible for the world in every single way. And honestly, like, you know, it's not always just the left who are bitching about it these days. You know, we have some on the right. We have some in the middle who are, you know, upset about all this stuff. They sound a lot, an awful lot like old school leftists. And that stuff is all over the place right now. I just feel like if you can't acknowledge capitalism has been awesome, there's just no fact that will convince you of anything. That's how clear the data is. Now, I will admit this at the beginning here. I'm not a Catholic myself. I, of course, respect my Catholic friends and their faith. We have many of them right here at the Blaze that are awesome. I will say I don't agree with the Pope's take on this. Pope Leo criticizes high Musk-style corporate pay packages. CEOs that 60 years ago might have been making 4 to 6 times. I mean, I could be reading this out of a socialist handbook or any annoying Democrat running for office for the past few years, but I'll read it anyway. CEOs that 60 years ago might have been making 4 to 6 times more than workers were receiving, and now 600 times more, Leo said in a Catholic news site for the site Crux. Yesterday, there's news that Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire in the world. That is not what the news said. Kind of said it from the New York Times, to be fair, but that's not actually what's going on here. What does that mean, and what is that all about? If it's the only thing, if that is the only thing that has value anymore, then we're in big trouble. Nobody said that was the only thing that had value anymore. Nobody's making that argument. There are zero people on earth making that argument. And also, he doesn't have $1 trillion. But it was enough fuel to have Bernie Sanders come out and say, you know what? The Pope is right. Think of how hard that was for him to say. Bernie Sanders said Pope Leo is exactly right about Elon Musk's pay package. No society can survive when one man becomes a trillionaire. Billionaires and trillionaires. I can't say millionaires anymore because, of course, I'm one of them. From Bernie Sanders, he says the Pope is exactly right. No society can survive when one man becomes a trillionaire. I mean, I don't know, maybe the Pope said that, but I thought that was you saying that. Anyway, while the vast majority struggle to just survive. I got news for you, bub. The vast majority do not struggle to survive, at least if we're talking about America. You know, he, I guess, goes a little bit, I mean, he says no society. Society, you know, he's referring, it seemingly, to the country. And by the way, not even close that the vast majority are struggling to survive. That is just not even close to the reality in this country. How can anyone go outside on a day-to-day basis and not understand that? That does not mean everyone's thriving. It does not mean everyone's happy. They seem to be more and more miserable by the day, honestly. But with all the innovations, all the wonderful things that have come into this world, the idea that everyone is sitting around struggling to survive is nonsense. We've talked about this stat many, many times. Oh, the middle class is disappearing. Yeah, they are. They are disappearing. Where are they disappearing to? To the upper middle class. If you hold these values and look and adjust it for inflation, that's, of course, very, very important and always done in these types of studies, but it's always also the first comment after every time I say it, oh, that's just, we're going to adjust that for inflation. It is adjusted for inflation. And over and over and over again, that's the path that we see. That, yes, of course, there are still people who are poor, but there are far fewer than them percentage-wise per capita than ever before. It's gone down, 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 down. And what's happened is the lowest income quintile has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, or the lowest third, depending on which study you're looking at. Those things are getting smaller. The middle class is also getting smaller. You know what's getting bigger? The upper classes. In theory, that would probably make this sort of analysis just defunct. But for some reason, it just keeps coming back. And we're like, oh, well, let's elect Mom Donnie. Could you be dumber? Probably not. But of course, when I say we've hit the peak of stupidity, then we have people running for Senate in Texas to talk about. And you might say, oh, he's going to talk about Jasmine Crockett again? No, not this time. Let me talk about her opponent. Texas Rep. James Tallarico echoes Bernie Sanders' criticism of Elon Musk's trillion-dollar pay package. Tax the trillionaires out. Just want to make sure we understand. So the Pope says something, and then Bernie Sanders is like, yeah, the Pope, I agree with the Pope. And then James Tallarico comes around, yeah, I agree with Bernie Sanders agreeing with the Pope. What a fun little circle. Anyway, here is James Tallarico telling you a bunch of stupid things about trillionaires.
The reason poverty exists in the wealthiest country on earth is not because we can't feed the poor.
Yes, it is.
It's because we can't satisfy the rich.
No, that's
bad. Elon Musk is about to become the first trillionaire.
No, he's not.
He's about to make more money than every elementary school teacher in America combined.
Of what value is that?
Do we really believe one man is worth more than every elementary school teacher?
If you judge a person only by money,
why do we have a trillionaire when there are kids without enough to eat?
We don't have a trillionaire.
Why do we have a trillionaire when cancer patients are going bankrupt?
We don't have a trillionaire.
Why do we have a trillionaire when veterans are sleeping out on the street?
We don't have a trillionaire.
I'm all for success.
No, you're not.
But this is not success.
It seems pretty successful to me.
This is hoarding.
Oh, hoarding. Got it.
What leads a person to accumulate more money than they could possibly spend in 100 lifetimes?
Success.
When there are people starving in this one? The reason poverty exists in the wealthiest country on earth is not because we can't feed the poor.
Wait, you're repeating yourself.
It's because we can't satisfy the rich. But what we can do is tax trillionaires out of existence.
Yes. Yes. You did it. How did you do it so fast?
And use that money to guarantee food, healthcare, and housing for every single American.
Oh, that's it. That's all you need. You're just going to guarantee food and housing and income to everybody in America? Why didn't we think of that? By the way, as I just noted, he's going to tax trillionaires out of existence. Good news for you. In fact, you can lower taxes to 0% and we'll still have no trillionaires. Congratulations. By the way, rich people do have a lot of success. America's richest added nearly $700 billion in wealth this year. I've got a response to this. It's one word: good. Over the last year, new study, Oxfam America, 10 wealthiest U.S. billionaires added $698 billion to their collective net worth. Similarly, the share of total assets owned by the richest 1.1% of U.S. households reached 12.6%, the biggest slice of the pie since the Federal Reserve began publishing data on the subject in 1989. Here's the thing. When the left talks about this crap, what they do talk about often is he's taking our slice of the pie. What happens? And anybody who's ever looked at this knows it. It's not about taking slices of the pie. It's about making the pie bigger. Everyone gets a slice. Life has improved. Our morals might not have improved. There's a lot of things that have gotten a little sticky here. Our attention spans are going the wrong direction. Certainly, the amount of people who are well-read or understand anything about economics has gone to basically zero. But the truth is, life is better in almost every measurable way than it used to be. What you do with that is your fault. It's my fault. It's James Tallarico's fault. What do you think he did to deserve having to run against Jasmine Crockett? Think about that for a second. Look, eventually we will have a trillionaire. I promise you. I'm not denying that. That will occur. And you know how I know that? I know it because eventually we're going to inflate the money by so much, someone will hit that number. They might even be poor and be called a trillionaire. But at the end of the day, people like Elon Musk are unabashedly positive for our society. They are doing good things, creating real things, real benefits. We should be saying thank you a lot more often to people in that tax bracket. They actually bring a lot of good. They're not perfect. There's some of them that suck. But generally speaking, they're bringing real positives to this country, and they are not taking that money away from you. You know, with people like me yelling at you all the time, there aren't many quiet moments left in the day anymore. Everything moves fast, every device is buzzing, and it feels like the second you sit down, something else pulls you back up. Kindred Harvest wants to kind of take you out of that for just a moment. They were created as a counterweight to all of that noise, a way to carve out one honest, uncluttered moment that is just yours. Their teas are built around real ingredients, and you can see and you can recognize them, you know, whole leaves and bright herbs and real roots and flowers chosen for their natural flavor and the way that they make you feel. Nothing is powdered. Nothing is artificial, trying to mimic the real thing. Just clean, thoughtful blends that remind you what tea is supposed to taste like. Even the details matter. Their bags are made from plant-based material, so what you're brewing is pure and straightforward, without the plastic that you find in a lot of modern tea brands. And everything is blended and packed right here in the U.S. by people who are taking pride in getting it right. Choose American quality. Choose Kindred Harvest. Cultivating goodness daily. Just go to kindredharvest.co, kindredharvest.co, use the code STU, you get 20% off. It's kindredharvest.co, and the promo code is STU. I'm joined now by Karina Yapor. She's the executive producer and news anchor of Oz News. And Karina, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you are very well known in Spanish-speaking media. Can you kind of give people your background for people that don't know?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've been working in the U.S. media, Hispanic media, for almost 20 years now. Mm. I started as a producer with Telemundo, and then I was there for almost 8 years, and then I was for almost 8 years with Univision as well. These two are the main networks in the Hispanic world here in the U.S. until almost 3.5 years ago when I resigned to come here and launch Voz, a media company with a conservative perspective for Hispanics. And here we are.
Such an important effort. I can't even describe how important this is to America right now. What made you want to leave, you know, Univision, Telemundo, to go and do this?
Well, you know what, Stu? Good question, because, so we Hispanics are very conservative. And to me personally, as a Christian woman, especially in the most recent years, I saw a change, you know, in the rhetoric, in the way that we had to handle some certain news that didn't really resonate with my values, with my Christian values and conservative values. Mm. So I was praying, you know, to the Lord. I do, you know, because I want His guidance. And then He answered back, and I was introduced to Orlando Salazar. Mm-hmm. He is in the business cattle, and he is an American, but Mexican-American, and he wanted to do something about the rhetoric. Because for people who doesn't know, Telemundo is owned by NBC. Mm. So pretty much you hear the same rhetoric.
NBC News, yeah.
Yes, and Univision, works along with CNN, mm-hmm. ABC, so it's kind of the same, you mm-hmm. know? So for me, there were moments that were very uncomfortable, unfair. So I started waking up and realizing that we weren't representing the values of Hispanics anymore. Yeah. And I wanted to do something else. I wanted to be a light in the darkness, but to do something else. And that's how I met Orlando Salazar. He had that desire in his heart as well from the Lord. And he was a business owner in the cattle business, but he was willing to take the step that nobody else was taking, putting his own money to launch this platform in order to impact Hispanics with the truth, with the conservative values, and to make a difference for our country.
Yeah, thank God he did.
Yes.
I think we saw a good chunk of that difference in 2024. I mean, I think
exactly.
You guys are making a real difference. And
absolutely.
You know, the electorate's changing.
Yes. And we saw the results. We are so happy and blessed that we know that we were part of the presidential results last year, no doubt. We were every night, you know, talking to people, presenting the different platforms, presenting how, unfortunately, the Democrats are no longer representing the conservative values that Latinos have, you know, and just like making the truth, unfolding things that Hispanic didn't know and didn't have access to. So we were key. So we are so proud of that. And here we are to stay, you know. Hispanics are the largest minority and the fastest growing one in the U.S. So it is very important for them to understand politics the right way and who really represents our values.
Yeah, it really is vital. Now, what we've talked about so far is really positive. I want to take a little step back here because I think there's reasons to be nervous about where we are and where we're going.
Yes.
Let me start with Miami.
Yep.
Now, Miami is a city that is, and you tell me where I'm wrong on this. It's been, hasn't had a Democratic mayor in like 30 years.
Yep.
Is a thriving city. It is, I mean, if you'd hold up the one city that seems to be maybe like this, you know, growing metropolis, you'd look at Miami, tons and tons of success.
It's the hope for the Latino community.
Yeah.
It's the hope.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right there. And yet, it's in a state, by the way, that's thriving. Florida is going crazy. Ron DeSantis has done a great job there. It's turned into a red state. And for some reason yesterday, I'm looking at the prediction markets, and they're telling me the Republican has basically no chance to win whatsoever. And that's what we saw. Explain this to me.
These results are shocking for everybody. And I think the good thing is that this is happening a year before midterms because right. it gives us the opportunity to reflect. And hopefully we all do because we need to pay attention to this. So not only that, not only Miami had been Republican for 30 years, but they supported President Trump. You know, it was a big win in Miami for President Trump
right.
last year. So I believe, I mean, we were analyzing this, of course, with my team this morning, and we are talking as well. But there are some things that we believe that have impacted, especially among Hispanics. Mm-hmm. So one of them, of course, immigration is a very important topic mm-hmm. for Hispanics. Most Hispanics support strong borders, legal immigration, and the deportation of criminals first. Mm-hmm. So I think that, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of good things happening, but also there's some other things that we believe haven't been handled the right way. Mm-hmm. So one of them, the recent suspension of immigration procedures involving Cubans and Venezuelans. Mm,
yeah.
If you look at Miami, Miami is largely, I mean, the majority of Hispanics in Miami are from Venezuela or Cuba. Mm-hmm. So just last week, the administration announced that they put on hold all the applications, even citizenships, green cards, family petitions, mm-hmm. everything is on hold right now for Cubans and Venezuelans. And I can understand the administration, but on the other hand, there's a lot of people among these communities that supported President Trump, that they are here legally, and probably they have a family member, their mom, their brother, especially with this situation in these two countries, with the dictatorships there.
Yeah.
And they are doing everything the legal process to bring their families to a safer place right now. Mm-hmm. And for them to be choked with this news, you know, of that everything is put on hold for them.
Yeah.
I think definitely that had an impact on the results that we saw last night, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
I mean, on Monday night.
To put an exclamation point on what you're saying, we are not talking about people who are crossing the border illegally
no.
here at all. We're talking
no.
about people who are coming legally from places who are trying to escape communism
yes.
and socialism, right?
Yes.
These are sometimes some of the strongest Americans that come in as illegal immigrants because they've seen how terrible it can become.
Exactly. And that's why they supported President Trump, the ones that are already U.S. citizens and can vote. But we have also other, I mean, they have mixed household family members that maybe are green card holders for now or are on a working visa, you know, yeah. on the way to acquire the green
sure.
card or citizenship. So for them, it's been shocking, this decision, because they largely supported President Trump the past election. And on the other hand, they feel that there's mixed messages. In one hand, we have all the military actions on the Caribbean, because this administration recognizes the narco dictatorship in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, they ended TPS for Venezuelans because they consider that they don't longer endure any threat going back to their country. So that's like a mixed message.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. Yes, that doesn't make any sense. So on the other hand, the deportations and the way that they are being handling. You know, I think we all celebrate when they arrest and deport murderers, rapists.
Sure.
You know, of course we are in favor of that. But on the other hand, we've seen also race outside of a Home Depot or mm-hmm. The detention and deportation of people that have been in the country for many years with no criminal record. And that has an impact. And let me be clear. Mm-hmm. Of course, I support legal immigration, no illegal immigration. I understand that everybody, and we all Hispanics understand that everybody that is illegal in the country is subject to removal. For yes. sure, we understand that. Mm-hmm. But I believe that there's two lenses that through which we should be analyzing deportation. So the first one is enforcing the immigration laws mm-hmm. with a strategy. And why do I mean by that? If you have 10 million of illegal immigrants in the mm-hmm. country or 15 million of illegal immigrants in the country, and the deportation process for each one costs thousands of dollars, and you will not be able as much as you want to deport them all, the 15 million, let's say that you can deport only 2 million. Mm-hmm. Of course, we all want the criminals to go first.
Right.
We all want also the people and the immigrants that don't assimilate to America or that are on, you know, relying on the government benefits to be deported first. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we've seen deportation or detention of a lot of hardworking people. And speaking about Hispanics, Stu, we need to recognize that Hispanics, first of all, share the same values. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Yeah. I mean, we share the same Christian values. Mm-hmm. So we assimilate pretty easily to America. And a lot of these folks in California, on the fields, you know, are hardworking people that somehow have been contributing to the country. You know, I mean, they shouldn't be a priority. So I think so
is it like a more of an issue you think of priorities and messaging, right? Like
priorities,
focusing on the really bad guys.
And messaging and strategies, too, yeah. because if you deport all the hardworking people, but you live here, Islamic people, for example, that doesn't assimilate, mm-hmm. that are fighting or system that are fighting our constitution, that are fighting against our faith or values, that doesn't help America in any way, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a strategy that the administration should take in consideration. And the second point is that you need to be strategic. I mean, Democrats are strategic.
Yes.
Reality is that Hispanics are very valuable mm-hmm. and they are key for politicians to win elections. So we need to have that in mind, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could talk to you about this for much, much longer. There's so much to cover. This is really interesting perspective. I do think that you're right in that the priorities and the messaging, I think, there's a lot of work to be done there. We don't have time to get into it now, but when you start redistricting states and you say, we're going to gain 5 seats, like they're saying in Texas,
yes.
if you're depending on Hispanic votes to do that, you don't address these things, you might wind up losing seats. It might wind up burning you in the end.
That's right.
We should come back and I'd love to talk to you again about this. We're out of time, unfortunately. Karita Yapor, executive producer and news anchor of Oz News here. That's right here in the building. Our neighbors right here.
Right.
Thank you so much for doing this, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You may know I'm a bit of a Jasmine Crockett aficionado. And anytime a news story about Jasmine comes across my desk, I am all in, like 100% loving it. But this one's special. It's one of those that seems too good to be true, even for me. That being said, I'm going to take that skepticism and I'm going to commit genocide on the skepticism. I think that's my second genocide of the day. Genocide on the skepticism, because I don't care about any doubts about the story. I'm just going to blatantly blanket believe it. Because it's so good, so good. The headline, an AstroTurf recruitment process. National Republicans propped up Jasmine Crockett to push her into a Senate run. God, I love this story so much. I want to read some of it to you. Just a month ago, there was grave concern among Republicans about a Senate race with John Cornyn, the senator now, running for re-election. Democrats were running two formidable candidates, and one of them has now, of course, dropped out. Cornyn was caught in the middle of a bruising three-way primary that Republicans were concerned would weaken the eventual nominee. That dynamic has not changed, but to go on. National Republican Senatorial Committee put out a poll in July with Jasmine Crockett's name included, which showed her as the leading Democrat in a hypothetical matchup. But no one at the time was really putting Crockett in any of these polls. When we said that, when we saw the results, we were like, okay, we've got to disseminate this far and wide. A source familiar with the process told NOTUS, which stands for News of the United States. I don't know, it seems like a left-wing-ish sort of outlet, but they're somewhat new. The fact that Crockett was included in the poll was no accident. When they were talking about the lead up, they said, basically, we see all these guys out there. Let's put Crockett in a poll and send it everywhere. Then other pollsters were like, hey, I saw that one poll with Crockett in it. So they continued to poll her. And then she started getting convinced about how unpopular she was. And then she started getting all these phone calls at her office saying, you got to run, Jasmine, you got to run, run, Jasmine, run. And why did that happen? The report says that there were several recruitment agencies who, on the right, on the Republican side, that made calls to Democrats, robocalls to Democrats, that said, tell Jasmine Crockett she's got to run. She's fantastic. And by the way, just press, you know, the number 8 on your phone and we'll connect you right away to her office to tell her how awesome she is. Thousands of calls that this happened with. And so her office was flooded with really positive attention. So she's thinking she's the most amazing thing. Now, I will, to just put a little shade on the story, she already thought she was the most amazing thing. But this convinced her further of it, convinced her to actually go ahead with this idiotic run, which I am 100% behind, at least in the primary. And then at the end of the day, she wound up announcing and hopefully will go down to a horrible, horrible defeat. Now, some of people are saying, well, Stu, what happens if she wins? Sometimes this happens. And at that point, what I'll need to do is fly into a foreign country and live there for the rest of my life so you don't show up at my doorstep with torches and pitchforks. But that has not happened yet. And for now, it is the most entertaining thing in the entire world. By the way, there is merch on the site for Jasmine Crockett future presidential run, which I assume is coming. Jasmine 28. You can get it at stewdoesmerch.com. The code is Stew10, by the way. You can save 10%. What a wonderful gift for the holiday season. Buying or selling a home is one of those experiences that looks simple from a distance and then suddenly becomes overwhelming the moment you step into it. There are deadlines, negotiations, inspections, and price decisions that can change the entire outcome. And the difference between a smooth process and a stressful one almost always comes down to the agent standing beside you. That's why I trust real estate agents. Itrust.com. It exists to connect you with professionals who actually know what they're doing and care enough to do it well. These are agents who understand the local market, who communicate clearly, and who don't disappear the minute a complication shows up. They're vetted for track record and professionalism, not just a name on a website. And the result is that you get someone who guides you through every step, helping you price a home correctly, write a competitive offer, negotiate with confidence, and avoid the pitfalls that catch so many first-time or even seasoned buyers and sellers as well off guard. This is the stakes, right? This is what it is. When it's this high, you don't want to hope that you pick the right person. You want to know that you can trust somebody. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's a free service to you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Okay, so here's what happened. Picture this. A Fabergé egg. Fabergé egg with 18 karat gold, 60 white diamonds, 15 blue sapphires, and then the egg opened up, and inside was a gold octopus with 2 black diamonds for eyes. Pretty spectacular piece, I'm sure. A guy walked into a jewelry store where this thing was hanging out. And he was in New Zealand. And he walked up and he picked up the Fabergé egg being showed the piece. And then just jammed it down his gullet and swallowed it. Now, this is a terrible idea. Now, maybe if you're, I don't know, you're hiding and they're saying, do you have that egg? And, you swallow it and they say, no, I don't have it. Maybe, but you're right there. You just ate it kind of in front of people. Police show up. They arrest him, of course. And then they had to wait 6 days. 6 days. The headline, man who swallowed stolen Fabergé egg passes it naturally. What a process that must have been.